What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is July 25th. Happy Friday. And yes, we are going to talk about baseball. Just want to let you guys know, if you're watching this right now live on YouTube, that is at YouTube.com/PitcherList, or actually on the Plus Pitch Podcast YouTube channel itself, you should be watching on playback. Why? Because at the end of this podcast, I'm giving away a free month of PL Plus Monthly to everyone in playback chat. And it's only going to happen until early afternoon today. So only for a couple hours will you have this moment that you can put in this promo code. I highly recommend, if you're watching right now, go to playback. This is what you're missing out. Playback.tv/PitcherList. Doing things like this. I stream every single weekday morning, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern time. But we got to talk about Yu Darvish. No, this is not good. I've been really high on Yu Darvish. Why? Because he's Yu Darvish, and he's done so well for all of his career. He's rarely had these bad seasons, and even last year before he went on the restricted list, or it really was just it was personal leave, really. He had some really bad things going on in his personal life that we felt terrible for. We didn't see him for a long time. And then he was rehabbing for a bit, and it has not been good since he's returned. It really came to a T yesterday against the Cardinals in St. Louis, which generally is a very good matchup, but it was 3.1 innings of 8 earned runs. Oh my gosh, 3 hits, 2 hits, sorry, 2 walks, 3 strikeouts, 7 whiffs, 29% CSW, just under 70 pitches. Of course, he got the loss. And this is twofold. One, sure, there are two really bad sweepers that he threw. One was a horrible meatball to a lefty, and one wasn't so bad, but it was a way to righty. And both of those came up to be 3-run homers. So there's all 6 runs in 2 pitches. And you really got to think about how much home runs really do affect lines. I say this often, but when it comes to predicting our guy's going to be good or bad, like a lot of times it's just like, well, he allowed a home run or two off 2 bad pitches, and that was it sometimes. But that wasn't it totally with Darvish here, right? How do you get in those situations to have those 2 runners on each time? He also allowed 2 other runs. And what's going on here is that he doesn't have anything that he really trusts inside of his arsenal. His sinker was his most thrown pitch yesterday. That should not be thrown 32% of the time. It has 14 inches of horizontal break, which is below average. It's at 93. Nothing suggests that Darvish should be throwing this a third of the time. The reason he did is because it was his strike pitch. And the cutter was thrown just 2 times at 90, 91. The slider in the upper 80s was not thrown too often. The sweeper, as we mentioned, wasn't reliable. He did throw a splitter or 2 that were kind of fine. The curveball got hit at one point, but it was just a really bad choice of using it at that point. In watching Darvish, I get frustrated because he has so many options. And it's almost like the psychology of choice, right? The paralyzation of it. Of where you have so many options, so you always feel like you need to keep changing it. And I really have said this a lot, but I feel like Darvish would be best if he just had like 3 pitches he throws the most. Really slider, sweeper, and then you can even say cutter, honestly. Those 3. And then the curve and the four-seamer and the sinker are all like 10% usage or something like that as surprise pitches. Right, against right-handers, you have the sinker and you go upstairs with the four-seamer, okay? So you jam guys inside with that, you go there. You have a splitter at times if you want, sure. Then against lefties, you can go four-seamer if you want a little bit, but you have a splitter also, too. You have that slow curve you can surprise guys with. But the real foundation should always be the cutter, and then the slider, and then the sweeper. And I it's hard to see this because he just isn't finding that footing. And many times in the past, we've seen that Yu Darvish just kind of figures it out as he goes, right? I remember hearing one person describe it as, you know, he's painting the canvas with the paint coming down, you know, and it's just wherever it flows is just kind of how he flows, which can be very frustrating. There's one thing to know about Darvish, though, is that as a vet and having so many of these seasons before where he's had these peaks and valleys, he will tinker and figure it out, right? Now, do we want to bank that he'll figure it out by next start against the Mets or the one after against the Diamondbacks? Probably not. But then I will say that, yeah, I think he should be good by middle of August. So I don't think you have enough time left in the season to justify holding on to that hope for Darvish if there's something that will help you right now. This is really something that happens in the second half. You have to be moving. If you have questions about starters, the upside to hold needs to be massive for you to really reconsider or consider that over something else in a 12-teamer. So I don't think we're in that situation for Darvish at the moment. I don't know when it's going to come back, but it will at some point. And good luck to everyone who has Darvish at the moment. Eric Lauer was just so much better. It's kind of crazy to me. He went against the Tigers, got the win. 8 innings and 97 pitches. So theoretically could have even gotten the complete game here. 1 earned run, 5 hits, 0 walks, and 6 strikeouts. Incredible. And I watched it. Eric Lauer, did you bribe Koufax or something like that? You know, I'm not going to make a reference. It was ridiculous. He threw so many hittable pitches over the plate, and the Tigers just like, yeah, we can't do anything with this. We also saw some really bad swings. I mean, including a 92 mile per hour fastball and a 2-strike count away from a right-hander as a lefty. He does not have exceptional horizontal break. It was like, it was a good distance off of the plate, and it was swung at for a whiff, obviously, but it was never a strike, and it just didn't. I mean, maybe he's thinking it's going to be a cutter that comes back over, I guess, but man, you just never really see that. So Lauer is pitching above his head, and now he's going to get Coors and the Dodgers soon. But you can take the chance, maybe. I believe it's the Orioles next on the 29th, but it would be Coors and the Dodgers after that. So, like, if you want to go for the next one, fine. But really, he might not even be in the rotation. The Jays get one or two guys. And also, it's two bad matchups after. And, like, it's just not that real. The Mariners, by the way, have Logan Evans as their SP5. And I got to say, I talked about it with Ian Osiris on the Craft yesterday, that we went over all of the starting pitchers that intrigue us for the trade deadline, just kind of talking about what impacts that have on players and dark horse trades and everything to watch out for and all of that. And we realize that there's a massive number of kind of SP4s and 5s who are there to help teams get to the finish line and stabilize when they have a strong 1-2 punch, essentially, right? So think of, like, the Phillies, for example. If they have Taiwan Walker, do they want someone to replace it just to help out in the meantime? Or maybe the Mariners, because Logan Evans is their SP5, but they have Logan Gilbert, they have George Kirby, they have Brian Wu, they have Luis Castillo, right? And what is the situation with Bryce Miller? And maybe another injury happens. You don't have more depth. So they are the perfect team to go and get someone, which means that Logan Evans, I wouldn't be surprised if this is his last outing, but he did well against the Angels. Props to him. 5 innings, 1 run, 3 hits, 3 walks, and 3 Ks. And you get a gold star, even though it's just 3 strikeouts and a 1.2 whip. At least he had 7 for 22 called strikes in the sweeper, but then again, it was a 55% strike rate. Yeah, there's something to hold on to for Logan Evans. Don't go chase that. Luis Severino was actually very good against the Astros. And I remember actually putting him in the do not start tier and thinking to myself, and I think maybe I slightly expressed it, that, like, Severino, hey, he's a sweeper cutter guy, right-handed lineup with the Astros. Maybe that actually plays into his hand a bit. Nah, Severino is way too inconsistent. And even though it's outside of Sacraverde, the Astros have also thrown more lefties. And it's just, I'm still not going to do it. Well, whoops, 7 innings of 200 runs with a win. 4 hits, 0 walks, and 8 strikeouts. Fine. He actually did really well, better than usual, with sweepers away, sinkers inside to right-handers. Also had four-seamers and cutters a line away, which is really nice. Also had cutters help against lefties, the ones that he actually faced. And, man, it was much better than I expected. Now, here's the thing. He's hosting the Mariners in Oakland. Haha, should be. Sacramento. And then he's facing the left-handed Nationals. And you don't want either of those. So, no. But just keep this in mind. Maybe, like, another right-handed heavy team, maybe he can do well when it's not in Sacramento. We have other guys to talk about. Not very massive grouping of guys, but Sonny Gray and Reese Olson and Yusei Kikuchi. And what are we doing with Charlie Morton? We're going to talk about all of that after this break. Charlie Morton against the Guardians. All lefties, kind of. Actually, they did throw, I think, one or two righties at him. Got the win. 6.2 innings, 3 runs, 5 hits, 4 walks, 7 Ks. 16 whiffs for a gallows pole. Congrats, Charlie Morton. And here's the thing. With Charlie Morton, there are two things you should be looking at. Is his curveball dope? Yes, it was. 75% strikes and 7 over 36 whiffs in that curveball. Beautiful. Well, what about the fastball? Is it at 95 or is that like 93 and change? 95. There you go. So when it comes to Charlie Morton, yeah, not great against left-handed lineups because, He can jam guys better. His cutter works better against righties, essentially as a slider away. The curveball going away from righties, etc. But fine, we'll take this. Now, what's next? Oh, it's the Jays and then the Phillies. You don't really want that. However, either A, he's still an Oriole at the trade deadline, which means that after that, it'll be versus the Athletics in Camden and then the Astros, who are right-handed. So I think I'd be down for those two. So that would be, you don't go after Morton now. Wait on the waiver wire. Probably you guys aren't picking him up. If he does, he doesn't do well, he gets dropped, etc. And then you come back for those two. Or he does get traded. And it won't be the Jays and the Phils next. So if you want to wait like a day or two, if you have Charlie Morton to make that decision, totally understand. But otherwise, if you have something this weekend, like don't feel like you have to hold on to Charlie Morton, because then if he gets dealt, then it's not necessarily a guarantee that Charlie Morton's going to be good. Yusei Kikuchi against the Mariners, 4.2 innings of 300 runs, 7 hits, 2 walks, and 4 Ks. Womp womp. This was the first game I think I've ever seen from Kikuchi where he went 0 for 30 whiffs on his slider. And that reminds me of Kobe Bryant talking about Deron Williams, which I know, basketball, oh my gosh, cross sport. But this is such a famous quote, and I love it. I tell actually the kids I coach the same thing for the kids I need to score. The quote goes like this. Kobe Bryant is being told about Deron Williams, who went 0 for 9 in a game and then decided because he wasn't making any shots, he became a passer and assist and tried to work in his teammates. And Kobe heard that and he goes, I'll go 0 for 30 before I go 0 for 9. And it's because Kobe needs to be the guy who scores. He doesn't believe the team will win if he goes 0 for 9. And also, he believes he'll go 1 for 10 then, right? 2 for 11. So Kikuchi going over 30 whiffs on his slider is like, I mean, yeah, good, Kikuchi. Try to fix that slider. Don't give it up, you know? But yeah, not a good outing. Kikuchi is a hipster. We know this. He just goes in and out. He gets the Rangers next. You might still be tempted for that one. The Rangers aren't very good of an offense, so it's up to you. Coin flip. Logan Allen. You have him against the Orioles. 6.1 innings of 400 runs, 7 hits, 0 walks, and 4 Ks. You might have started him because you wanted a poor quality start, and guess what? You had it. You literally had it. 6 innings, 300 runs. And then he returned for the 7th, allowed a base runner, and was on the hook for the run who scored. So that's 4 runs. Careful Licorice there. He also went 72% four-seamers and 9% sinkers for 80% fastballs. Logan Allen, these are not good fastballs. Don't understand it. I don't really want to go for Logan Allen. I think it's very mediocre. Yes, he has an opportunity for quality. Certainly ride guys for 6 innings, how often they can for starters, but still, it's just... No, I don't want to do it. Jason Alexander against the Athletics. I think he's actually kind of interesting. No, I'm not going to make any obvious jokes. But this was 6 innings, 500 runs, 11 hits, 2 walks, and 3 Ks. Why is he interesting? Because his changeup is filthy. 10 over 36 whiffs with 38% usage. He got whiffs on both sides of the plate as well. But there's nothing else. The sinker is supposed to be that foundation for him. And it was 90 miles per hour. It does not have good movement. It is not pristinely located. It is a terrible foundation for him, and no, you need to throw like 60%, 70% changeups or something like that. I don't know. He's from the right side, too. It's just not what you want, Jason Alexander. I'm so sorry. You can also see the Astros, by the way, getting someone like Merrill Kelly, or maybe even Charlie Morton returning back to Houston. I would not be shocked if a deal like that happened. You have Reese Olson against the Jays. The Jays are a really good offense, guys. 5.2 innings of 500 runs, 6 hits, 2 walks, and 4 Ks, and thing is, he almost had it. 5 shutout frames. Then the 6th happens, and he allows the first run on a changeup that is down and out of the zone to Vlad Guerrero, who just kind of drops the bat, and it wasn't inside, it was middle, but like, that's a really good changeup that normally beats guys, but Vlad, he just hit it for a double, so there's one run scored. And then he had an out, a man gets on, and then a 3-run shot on a terrible slider. Oh, Reese Olson, oh my gosh, it was so bad to righty, it was just... right over the middle of the plate. It was so bad. So there's a 3-run shot. And then it's a changeup inside to a lefty that is just not great either. And then another home run. And it's just, oh my gosh, 5 earned runs and he gets pulled. Ugh, so close. It was against the Jays. Don't judge him for it. Reese Olson is good. Cool. Okay. And Sonny Gray was opposite Yu Darvish. 5 innings, 6 earned runs, 11 hits, 0 walks, and 5 strikeouts. 37% CSW. He got singled out. Yes, he allowed a pair of home runs, sure, but he got singled out a lot. And here's the thing. We've seen him be sunny most of the season. He sometimes is gray. These are two starts in a row where he's gray, and that all of a sudden sounds alarm bells, right? One, we just wave off. Two, you're like, okay, hold on, Nick, there's something wrong. I don't think there was really something wrong. I think, honestly, they just got him for two starts, right? Maybe he's doing something that helps them. I hate playing the tipping argument. I know I've done it before, but I really don't want to. I think it's just a bad spell for Gray for a moment, okay? Baseball works in weird ways. Do not think that Sonny Gray is cooked now. Just keep rolling with him. All right, that is it for today. Because I have a what we call a papaya inside of the live stream, that is a perfect podcast with no edits. Yes, I'm giving away a free month of PL Plus to everyone in chat. So if you're watching live right now, you got to go over to playback.tv/pitcherlist and get that free month. It's only going to be around for about a couple hours today. That is it. My name is Nick Pollock. And may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.